You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett, and every week I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hey there, I'm Wendy Pett. Welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I am so excited to be here with you today. This podcast is, you know, you've heard it before. I hope you have. It's where we dive deep into the world of wellness and we explore the connections of our health and our environment, right? In today's episode, we're going to be shedding the light on two often misunderstood conditions, Lyme disease and mold toxicity. But first, before we do, I want to give a little shout out to all of you that listen or watch this podcast. And first of all, I just want to say thank you. But here's the shout out. Those of you that, of course, are listening here in the U.S., thank you, thank you, thank you. But I was looking at the stats, Australia, Romania, Canada, India, Brazil, the Philippines, Argentina, Germany, Indonesia, Ireland, New Zealand, Switzerland, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia. I mean, the list goes on. I am so excited you're here. If you are one of those in those regions, thank you for tuning in. It is just a real honor to have you listen, and I hope you are gleaning some great information from this Visibly Fit podcast. Please share it with those that you know and give a rating and a review. That would be fantastic. A 5-star rating, if you don't mind, and a review, because that will help people find this podcast easier. Now, if you are ready for a life-changing journey, and I've shared this usually at the end of my podcast, but where, you know, I've worked with countless numbers of female patients with their mind, their body, their spirit. I have a 7-week program. It's called basically Get Visibly Fit, but we work together on nutrition and exercise and mindset techniques and our spiritual journey. It is powerful. If you are ready, then go to getvisiblyfit.com to learn more. But today, my guest is Dr. Troy Spurrell. Okay. He is with Synapsis Center for Health and Healing. And I'm going to share his bio with you real quick. He is the CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He received a bachelor's of science in molecular biology from the University of Manitoba and a doctor of chiropractic from Northwestern Health Sciences University, and has extensive training in functional neurology, functional medicine, nutrition, and applied kinesiology. Dr. Spurrell travels extensively conducting seminars on the subjects of disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled healthy lifestyle. He has authored the book Formula for Life and is credited with the development of a brain-body technique to reverse the cycles of post-traumatic stress disorder and cumulative stress syndromes. Dr. Spurrell's next book will be coming out soon. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. Dr. Spurrell's company can be found in Eagan, and he is just a delightful man. We are going to be talking about the complexities of mold and Lyme. He works with people on all kinds of different issues, but we're going to focus on that today. We're going to share a few stories, provide some practical insights to help you navigate through these health challenges if you are dealing with them or if you know someone that is. So get ready to empower yourself with knowledge and discover the path to optimal well-being. All right, let's dive in. Well, welcome, Dr. Troy Spurrell, to the Visibly Fit Podcast. It's an honor to have you today.
Thanks. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, it's so fun. We have a mutual friend, of course, Susie Larson. Yes. And I know you have been on her show on Faith Radio numerous times, and you are just a plethora of information and so dedicated to do God's work. And so anyway, I just want to say thank you for being on my podcast and taking the time.
It's my privilege. I love it.
Well, I know you are on several podcasts a week, and so I appreciate the time. I wanted to really kind of orchestrate this particular podcast about two different topics. And again, we'll let the Holy Spirit lead, but mainly because I have two friends that have seen you, and one being Susie and another being another close friend. And one went to you for mold issues, and the other, of course, Susie, with Lyme disease. I'd like to kind of unpack both of those as this particular episode airs. It's not technically Lyme season yet, but we're getting near that in the next couple months. So why don't we start talking about Lyme disease? What is it? How do we get it? I mean, you know, deer ticks, let's just unpack it all.
Yeah, absolutely. So strangely enough, we're not seeing the seasons as much. So the airing time is perfect when it comes to what we're seeing. People are part of their immune system that helps protect against Lyme is becoming a little more dampened after the COVID era of since 2020. So all of a sudden we see this huge influx of people with Lyme or Lyme co-infection. So Lyme itself is a sneaky little thing. It's a small little bacteria that hides and it goes into different forms. So it can be active and they can go into a cystic form. So it's really, really good at hiding in your body. So if you catch it early enough in the first 2 weeks, after you kind of get bit by a tick, then antibiotics really do the trick and they really do take care of it. But after that time period, there can be a pretty significant problem because it can start to burrow down into different areas of the body and hide really well. So then you got to get sneaky, and then you start using all kinds of things that people will say, this worked really well for me, like Rife machines, or I had to do herbals, or I had to do fasting, or I had to do dry fasting. So there's a lot of different variables. And then once you do get Lyme, you're more predisposed to getting the other co-infections of Lyme, Bartonella or Babesia, which are basically, they're like parasites, really. So we lose the ability from our immune system to fight off intracellular infections. So people are more prone to getting other parasites, viruses, things like that when they have Lyme.
Right. And so I'm glad you're bringing that up, that it's not just a seasonal bacteria that shows up any longer. It tends to be all year round. And even for those, the long-term effects of Lyme disease is showing up, of course, at any time. But there has actually been a trend that Lyme has shown up more frequently in the last 30 years. What do you think that the reason of that is?
Well, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing that we're seeing is the part of the immune system that helps fight it off is becoming compromised.
And that's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yes. And yep. It is a big challenge because it's mostly our lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so our lifestyle plays into it quite a bit. So memory T cells and other immune responses are just downregulating a lot of people. And so that's one part of it. It's definitely spreading too, as far as just, it used to be just really prevalent in the upper Midwest in Germany. And now we're starting to see it across everywhere. And so it's not just from ticks too. So we now know that it's coming from multiple other sources, and really it's an immune system problem. Yep. And so we're seeing, again, COVID really, when you see the data, you're going to see like a real big spike since COVID and since the spike proteins, because a lot of people, whether they got COVID or the vaccines and they didn't do well with it, it's continuing. It's also downregulating that same part of the immune system. So if so many people, we've had so many patients who didn't know they had Lyme, it was in the cystic form. So their body had like sequestered it. They had no symptoms.
And those receptors were turned on.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden they got COVID, or it was after the vaccine. We saw this Lyme rear its ugly head. And we're like, where's that been hiding? Mm. And so it was in the body already is what we're assuming. Either that or the defense mechanisms and the exposure is there. Because a lot of people, like viruses, can go through an entire house and only one or two of the four people living there may get it.
Right.
So it's your immune system response that really can affect whether or not the severity for sure, but just how much it takes hold as well.
Right. I can't stress that enough myself. And I know as you hopped on this podcast, I was drinking my green drink. This is a big thing for your immune system. And I really stress that a lot. And in fact, if you want to get that green drink, go to liveimmune.com. But the immune system, that's like the ticket. I mean, it's your gut microbiome. It's people don't really realize, as you mentioned, it's lifestyle as it's starting to rear its ugly head, especially since the pandemic. It just tells us that our body was so compromised and that now it's just kind of showing up in so many different ways. How are you seeing that it's mainly showing up? Is it in the joints? Is it what is the main way that your patients
are? Yeah, so we see it actually, we see all kinds. So we have people from all over the United States. We actually have a whole slew of people from Lyme, Connecticut, where it actually started. And one of my patients lives right across from the facility where a lot of the research was being done on Lyme when it when they had problems. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah, so it's a nice way of saying it.
Yes. So We're seeing basically a lot of Lyme arthritis. So that would be the joint stuff, but a lot of Lyme arthritis, relapsing fevers, but mostly fatigue and brain fog by far.
Which, you know, people could get that confused as I'm just stressed and worn out and all the things, or some kind of fibromyalgia kind of stuff, or it could be, I mean, there's so many different things that it could be. So how do you determine specifically, I mean, obviously blood work, right?
Well, yeah, blood work, but we also, you have to look at the body as a whole, basically. So we always look at things whenever someone comes in here, we want to see how they're doing mentally, chemically, physically, and spiritually. Yes. All of those can impact your overall well-being. And when there's a breakdown in communication in any one of those areas, then there's dysfunction, and dysfunction leads to disease. So we're really just trying to look at what dysfunction can we measure. I'm shocked how many people come in and we measure a physical sleep disorder that goes with Lyme and fibromyalgia. And so they have this challenge with their airway. It's kind of like a thin person sleep apnea. But the airway becomes weaker and they don't get the deep restorative sleep. So their immune system gets shut down and is not as effective when they're sleeping at night. So a lot of people will know that this is a problem because they don't wake up feeling rested, or they can't remember their dreams, or they have to take a nap the next day, or they can't sleep through the night. You should be able to sleep through the night without having to get up and go to the bathroom or be woken up. Regardless of age, even if you're in your 80s or 90s, I know that there's a little bit of there's an allowance there as you get into your eighth and ninth decade for sure. But I do have people that are in their 90s who are sleeping through the night still by paying attention to their lifestyle and their airways, the neck stiffness, all of those things that are very, very important for keeping an open airway for good deep sleep.
Right.
And boy, what a difference when you can sleep through the night and get deep restorative sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you come to life again, you know, it's like you're not walking around like a zombie. And, but there's so much to it, as you know. I mean, you talk about the lifestyle, from resetting your circadian rhythm to, you know, I mean, all of that with the artificial lighting and our stress and all of it. But I wanted to bring this up actually, because I was working with my patients today and I read this, and this is an old book, and it's kind of embarrassed to even show this. This is written in the 1950s, but I know you know this author, Agnes Sanford.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a classic, right?
That's a classic.
I was reading it in my prayer chair, and I just have to share this because I read this to them, and you know, you were talking about, I'm a big fan of talking about the emotional part of it, how we have to release the unhealthy emotions to release the weight. In fact, I interviewed Dr. Francisco Contreras with Oasis Medical Center.
Yes.
And I talked to him and I said, you know, it's a cancer hospital. And I said, what would you say the main reason people are here and you know, the cause of the cancer? And he said, fear and anger. And I'm like, yep. Oh my goodness. You're speaking my language. But I wanted to share this really quick because she's talking about that as well, about, anyway, thanks for being patient with me as I do this, but it's just kind of on my mind, but it talks about the subconscious and the conscious mind and all of that. But it says they are disguised as nervous tension, as fear, as obsession, depression, psychoses, neurosis, and heaven knows what. Think of cancer, Lyme, all kinds of things. But this is what I liked. It says, it's like this. A doctor once told me, when you bury anger and hate in the subconscious, it burrows under the ground and comes up somewhere else as nervous tension or whatever disease, right?
Yeah.
It is as if I were to bury a rabbit under the ground and it were to pop up somewhere else as a gopher.
Yep.
Right?
It's brilliant. Yes.
Like, isn't that Lyme?
Yes.
And so many other diseases?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we see with all our patients too, she was way ahead of her time. That was a,
I know.
Very, that was
she,
keen
she's
insight.
Like, right. Yeah. That was in the 50s.
Yes. Yeah. But we see like the emotional part of it is actually something that doesn't get addressed all that well. And so we have a class that we usually teach our patients, but we talk about, we have a slide where we show on that slide, it's very important that people recognize lack of forgiveness will block a healing.
Amen. Yes.
And so it's so crucial that people get to that place. And we now know scientifically, people who live in a state of fear or fight or flight, their cells will fold over. So that the receptors that are on the outside of the cell can't actually bind to the minerals and the chemicals for our food. So if you're even eating a really good diet, but you're living in fear, you can't get the nutrients into the cell. Well, inside the cells where our DNA is, that's where cancer occurs. So for a cancer clinic and doctor to say people are here because of fear, and I would add fear and fight or flight, because nowadays we see just a tremendous amount of fight or flight as well. It literally blocks the healing too. And we've seen that. We now know that the cells fold over on their child, just fold over on themselves, just like a frightened child would, kind of blocking it. And you can't get the same impact for health of the cell when you're living in that state of fear.
So good. So good. And you're right. Like a frightened child. And so often as we get mature in our years, you're still living with those same childlike wounds that need to be healed. And when you talk about forgiveness, I talk about how, you know, the key to fitness and wellness is the F word. And that F word is forgiveness, right?
That's right.
And it's a powerful, I mean, it's all in God's word, but it's like to really understand that at the cellular level, it's powerful, right?
Yeah, we see, it's amazing because you can actually see it work. And so, there's a testimony of one of my patients who's had ulcerative colitis and was kind of hard on me. I'm just going to say it that way. She had these high expectations and she had
heal me now.
Yes. Like how come after, in 1 week she had had for 15 years where she kind of had bloody stools for 15 years, then debilitating neck pain. And she had to see her chiropractor 3 times a week just to stay at a 4 out of 10 level of discomfort. And after a week, she was frustrated she wasn't better because the friend that referred her in had a pretty significant turnaround quickly. And so
but everybody is different. Right?
Yeah. And so I said, just give it time. We're still collecting data and stuff. But 2 months in, still no changes. She had debilitating neck pain, still had bleeding after every meal. Same with 3 months in, no changes. But all of our physical markers, all of our markers we were using were improving. And then we landed on it. She walked out of my office and she basically said that I made a comment about the body that God gave her. And she said, I hate the body that God gave me. And then I said, what did you say? Uh-huh. And that was the one thing. Cause she was very on top of it. She was very type A. She led Bible study at church. She taught other women. She was all over it. But this one little thought, self-condemning thought, snuck in there. And I asked her, I said, what would you say to the people you were teaching and coaching at church if they came to you and said that? And it kind of took her off guard. And the next day she called and she said, I think you're right. I went home and I said, I would tell them they need to repent. I said, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? She said, well, change my mind's direction. So I started thanking God for the body he gave me. And she said, guess what? I didn't have any blood in my stool today when I ate.
I love it. Yes.
And then the short version of the story is she's now 3 years removed with no blood in her stool. And she can even eat raw fruits and vegetables, which at the time when you have ulcerative colitis, you can't do those things because it kind of tears things up. So it was, that's how much when the Bible says guard your thoughts, there's levels to that. There's depth to that.
Amen.
And one little thing like that can sneak in and corrupt a healing that God has for you.
Yeah, the power of the mind and how it does control the body. And I think about how, you know, we have the mind of Christ, but how often are people not walking with really knowing or operating in knowing that they have the mind of Christ? And you know, sometimes it's a self-worth thing. It's all the things, but, and all of us have our issues, right? We've all, none of us are perfect at all and never will be until the day we die. But it's a process. And the more we understand, the more we grow and become more like Christ. And it's a process. I love that you are working with your patients in that way too. It's so rewarding because it's God's word and God's word heals, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I do believe personally that we're entering a season and a time where healthcare is going to change and God's going to be brought back in and you're going to see healings and even things that were not going to be needed as practitioners because of the healings God has for them.
Yes.
And so I really see a complete different approach happening soon. And that's, I get on some of the podcasts I'm on, that's one of the main topics where people are asking about that. And I really miracles. Think it's happening right now.
It is. It is. His miracles are alive and well today. And it's about, are we willing to receive?
Right. Yes.
Right. Yep. There's something about receiving too. Let's talk about that. I want to talk about that because that's the blockage so often is that we just can't receive his love, his forgiveness, his healing. But why do you think that really is? Why do you think we have troubles receiving?
So a lot of people who are servant leaders, who are givers, are challenged by that reciprocal relationship where they don't feel like they're doing God's work if they're receiving. But the reality is you can't rob someone else's blessing.
Yeah.
You've got to receive as much as you pour into other people. And a lot of people get their self-worth and their value from pouring into other people because they're servant leaders. They got great hearts and God knows their heart, which is great. But you can be blocking your own recovery because you're being blessed, but you're not allowing it because you're not receiving. Yeah. And a lot of us who try hard, like you said, we're very imperfect. But if you strive for righteousness, knowing you're going to fall short, then it should turn into gratitude for Christ covering the gap.
Yes.
It should be, thank you, Lord. But instead we beat ourselves up sometimes.
Condemnation,
saying, I'm falling short.
Should have, coulda, woulda.
Yeah. Should have done this, should have done that. So, yeah. So for all those people out there, and then there are people who are stuck in the darkness of the valley and they're just receiving, but not doing anything with the blessing. Mm-hmm. And we need them to get up and take an action step too. Yes. But I generally see the opposite where a lot of people that pour into others have a little bit of a challenge receiving. And I was like that when I was younger. I saw a gentleman who would take people out and he would cover their meals. He would pay for their meals. And I just saw the pleasure that they experienced with that. So that's something I've always done where I try and cover people's meals and stuff like that.
All right. Well, let me tell you where I'm going to be next week for dinner.
Yeah.
So you can cover my meal.
Yes.
I'm teasing. Oh, sorry. That choked you up.
You did. That was funny. I mean, I'll do it.
I'm teasing. I love that.
So when it happened to me, though, I felt uncomfortable when someone tried to do it for me. And it was a nice little lesson. So I'm better now.
Well, then I need to know where you're going to be and so I can buy your dinner.
That's right.
I love this. We're just so human. You know, we're just so flawed and yet we're so perfect because of Christ. Yeah. And so it's an interesting journey we're all on. And I love that other practitioners like yourself are in this space that are really walking the walk and talking the talk and really leading people to the source, the answer, and using your giftings and your talents to assist along the way. But going back quickly to Lyme, is there any other thing that you want to touch on regarding Lyme or how people can really determine and even come in maybe to check with you to see if, this is what I've got going on. I thought it was XYZ all along. And
First, one of my favorite labs is InfectoLab. It's right here in the Twin Cities. So I do like using that lab a lot. So I just want to give them a little shout out because they are working really hard to get good information for us.
Nice.
And the other thing about Lyme, there's something happening. I do, and this is more of a sense of a breakthrough when it comes to Lyme, because we're seeing some labs and some other people who have been treating Lyme take a different approach where they're actually theoretically taking care of Lyme, whether it's in a cystic form or active form. And there's a lot of potential for new treatments that will truly help with the chronic Lyme part of it. So I do see that coming in the future as well, specifically around bacteriophages and things like that, because bacteriophages are kind of like a parasite to Lyme.
Yeah.
So when you activate,
that's always fun to talk about parasites.
Yeah.
But everybody has parasites.
Yes, everyone. So even Lyme.
Right.
Yes. Right. So if we can activate the Lyme parasite that takes down the Lyme, that is one of the theories that is being floated. Interesting enough, that was coming out and there was a lab doing it, I want to say in the Netherlands, but it got shut down during COVID because of some COVID stuff that they were, they switched it over to a COVID-based lab. But I see them coming back and going down that line of research again. So we'll see what happens with it. So very, very fascinating.
But that's exciting.
Really, the Lyme can affect, it's basically called a biotoxin. Same thing that mold is, it becomes a biotoxin for our brain. So you can end up with so many different symptoms compared to the Lyme person next to you. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a little tricky for everyone, because it's all based on your uniqueness, even though you've got the same infection. It's not like other bugs where it's a lot of similar problems.
Right, right. And so you have to be patient and work it out. And yeah, that brain fog may not be menopause, if that's the age you're in, stage you're in. It could be that you have Lyme. So, okay, cool. We're talking Lyme. Now let's go mold. I spend a little bit of time in Florida, so I see quite a bit of mold. But we have it here, of course, in Minnesota too, with all the, it's everywhere. Let's just get real. It's everywhere. But you know, you can't always see the mold. It's not like it's black mold that you see and you're like, oh, I must have mold issues because I see it. No, it's not like that. Let's talk about the patients that you work with that have had mold issues and, you know, what can be done with it. And also, of course, the symptoms. They're similar to the Lyme, but
very, very similar to Lyme. But mold in particular will cause chronic inflammatory response syndrome, or SIRS. And that's a brain inflammation, and there are certain inflammatory lab markers that will go off, but it can affect a multitude of different things because it really starts to affect the leptin receptors in the brain, part of the brain called the hypothalamus. And then that can cause problems with regulating your fight or flight, your autonomic, so rest and digest. So we see sleep disturbances. It downregulates certain part of our immune system. So you can get certain infections. We see very commonly with both Lyme and mold, a nasal infection here called Marcon's that can be hard to treat. It's an antibiotic resistant staph infection with biofilm. Biofilm is when they kind of conglomerate together. And so they're non-responsive to antibiotics or anything like that. So you have to break up the biofilm and then kill it. So there's a bit of an art to that. The biggest thing with mold is it can cause digestive problems, like I said, sleep problems. But the biggest thing is you have to find where the mold is coming from.
Right.
25% of the population have the genetics, the HLA-DR genetics, that are not working for them. So it doesn't even matter if it's black mold. They can't get the mold spores out as efficiently out of their body. So you can have two people in the same house and one person has symptoms, the other person doesn't at all. And I'll just say this. A lot of times it's the women that have symptoms because the hormones and the environmental chemicals that mimic the hormones make that area of the brain, the hypothalamus and the leptin receptors, more sensitive to mold.
Interesting.
So we see a slightly different shift. So one of my biggest frustrations is when there's a spouse involved and he knows that the husband and he knows that the cost of mold remediation in a house,
it's expensive.
And he has no symptoms, but we've definitively outlined that the problem is mold.
Right.
Which I get. That's a stressor for him because it can, for me, I ended up having mold in my house and it ended up being an $80,000 issue.
$80,000. Wow.
Yes. So that was kind of one of my wake up calls, to what it could do just from a little bit of moisture.
Yeah.
In the walls.
Yeah. It's amazing. So, you know, going to Home Depot and just getting one of those little Petri dish things to see if you've got mold or not isn't always, the best way to figure it out.
it is a cheap way to just see if something grows. It's $8 to $10, but it's not going to give you much information. Some people will send it in, but I never tell people to
count on it
in or anything. I will use, there is a website called survivingmold.com and they have a test down in Texas where you collect the dust and send it down there. And it'll tell you, if based on the dust particles, if the house is safe enough for someone with the genetics to live in.
Gotcha.
So it's a good test. It does cost a couple hundred dollars versus the $8, but it gives you actual information. Survivingmold.com too also has good, the labs and stuff that your MSH, TGF-beta, MMP9, although if you get, there's one test on there called C4A. We have been finding that a lot of the labs don't actually process the blood properly because it's supposed to be put on dry ice. So you have to make sure the lab you use knows how to get that done if you actually get that particular lab drawn.
Okay. And then, of course, going and finding out if you're even predisposed to that anyway within your genetic makeup. So, yeah, that's important. Well, good. Well, this is good information. Mold and Lyme disease, you know, it's just two of the things that common symptoms, but it's just things that we need to talk about. Well, on a spiritual level, because I know you are a spiritual man, what is kind of the main, I know you kind of already talked about forgiveness and anger and kind of some of that stuff, but is that kind of the main thing that you see when your patients come in, that it's tends to be a forgiveness issue, or when you're looking at their ailments and that kind of thing? I mean, you can't just come right out and say, you've got a forgiveness issue.
That's right.
No, but you start to sense, right? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you get a sense for it. And how do you guide them along that journey to help them discover that?
So that's a really good question. So because it isn't very well addressed in traditional healthcare or addressed at all.
Right.
And so talk therapy, I'm not saying anything negative about talk therapy, but it doesn't get to the root of the problem a lot of times. And so we will get a good sense of a person's level of stress, so their capacity to handle and manage stress. We use questionnaires. We use a DAS questionnaire, depression, anxiety, stress score, in our general intake. We also, my favorite area of the brain is called the basal ganglia. It sets the tone for muscles and emotions. And it's part of the reason why when we have stress, our muscles get tight. But also certain muscles can shut down and not work when we get a triggering mechanism of a stressful fight or flight scenario. And there's also a neurologic test called Fukuda's. It's a marching test where you can actually measure if someone's in fight or flight. And if they are, then there's a high likelihood that they're not getting into deep sleep or restorative sleep. There's a high likelihood their digestive system is compromised. Because if you're in fight or flight, that's good if a tiger's chasing you so you can run away. But if a tiger's chasing you, it's a horrible time to take a nap or eat lunch, right?
Right.
So your brain stops supporting those mechanisms in those areas. So we assess things physically, and then you can just tell. So after that, once you start to look at it and say, it looks like, because a lot of people have stress, their muscles get tight, and then some people go through the same levels of stress, and they grab hold of the stress. It's affecting them internally. It's literally shutting down their system. It's kind of like driving with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. And so the wear and tear is there. So then when you bring up certain things, like it can be anything like vulnerability, or gratitude, things like that. But a lot of times it's hurt and pain, basically.
Yeah, any kind of trauma.
Someone was hurt at some point, they've put up a shield, if you will. And so to block that out so they don't get hurt again. It's a defense mechanism.
Sure.
So once you address that and they become vulnerable, and the only way to do that is at some point you have to operate in your strength. So knowing your identity in Christ is a huge part of that. But when you operate, let's say I'm really confident, but then I become overconfident and become arrogance.
Yeah.
So when you start to actually talk to them and see that they're operating in their weakness instead of their strength, in order for them to get into their strength, they have to surrender part of who they are.
That's good. So
you have to give it to God.
Let the ego go.
And so that's how they can start to then be vulnerable to work on why are you going into this protective scenario. It boils down to not being hurt again for whatever the original cause was. And the people we grew up with and love are very imperfect too. So it happens all the time.
We're a fascinating bunch. We really are. I mean, I am always fascinated by the human psyche and just the core of how, I mean, we know the core of who we are, but I'm just talking about how hurts have just stifled God's people, you know, to really rise up and be who they're called to be. And Man, at such a time as this, we have got to be emotionally stable and healed and physically yes. healed. So I appreciate you. I appreciate all that you're doing, and I hope to get to know you better. We actually had the pleasure of meeting briefly at a little church gathering, and so I was like, oh my goodness, I hope you'll come on my podcast. So thank you absolutely. For taking the time. And if you are looking to check out Dr. Troy, I hope you do, go to officialsynapse.com. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. And whether it's mold, Lyme, or multitude of other issues that Dr. Troy addresses, check him out and go give him a visit. But thank you so much for being on this call. I would love it if you would kind of close us out in prayer. Would you be willing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lord God, just thank you for Wendy and just all that she brings to the table for her people, Lord. I am just so thankful, so grateful for people that are servant leaders like Wendy and the people that she pours into. We ask that you continue to bless her healing hands and her mind to help the people, or the words that come out of her mouth, that they just continue to bless the people around it. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for the world right now. And we look to you, Lord, in the midst of chaos. Your light is there, and we just absolutely adore and love you, Lord. And we're so thankful. I continue to just ask that you bless Wendy's podcast and have people be touched by her words. And again, we thank you for the idea of Wendy and what she brings to people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Wow, that was beautiful. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Visibly Fit. Again, go to officialsynapse.com to learn more about Dr. Troy, and we will catch you next time right here on Visibly Fit. Be blessed.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.